You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
Well, I love Thursdays. It's Thursday, isn't it, Tim? Yes, he thinks it is. He's just checking his calendar out. What year? 1976. That's the sort of flares he wears. Anyway, I wasn't going to talk about that, but that's the sort of guy I am. Okay, looking at what's happening in the US, the Donald Trump saga, the raid on his house. Now, how corrupt is the FBI? 2 days after the raid, Donald Trump's private residence, Hunter Biden, whose laptop proving multiple felonies the FBI has had for years, hops on Air Force One for a family vacation. Now, watching a video, I'll play that for you in a second, it makes me want to vomit. I'll play it now. Just have a listen to the description of poor Hunter and Poppy, the big guy, hopping onto Air Force One.
We also have some live images of Air Force One. Bianca was just talking about Joe Biden's vacation headed to South Carolina. We're being also told that Hunter Biden is getting on Air Force One with President Biden as well.
Oh, how lovely.
So
some well-deserved R&R, they think, apparently.
It's August, Bianca. It's time for vacation for Hunter Biden. He's had a rough couple months.
Yeah, apparently. All right.
Now, those comments, actually, they make me want to vomit, too. And watching him, it's just a disgusting state of affairs. Hunter Biden on Air Force One, give me a break, tells you everything you need to know about the regime. And notice the comments from the Newsmax news anchors. Hunter has had a rough couple of months, and he needs America to foot the bill. Poor guy. Poor Hunter. Poor piece of shit. That's what he is. The FBI had evidenced Donald Trump, if the FBI had evidenced Donald Trump Jr. had committed just one of the hundreds of crimes easily found on Hunter Biden's laptop, the feds would have kicked his door down years ago. Instead, the international criminal, a man of misery, Hunter Biden, is jet-setting with his presidential dad. It's just banana republic stuff. It's just absolutely appalling, to say the least. And that's what America has become at the moment. You have corruption ruling a decent country. And at the moment, we see the Biden cartel, the dippy, shitty little president he is. I mean, it's an embarrassment to the world, and it's dangerous for the world. And what do we have? We have Albanese in Australia, the UK government. We have the New Zealand government all up his bum. That's what they're up this eccentric, demented, old, I won't say that, old person who doesn't know, he doesn't even know whose hands to shake. It's the invisible man. The guy he should be put out to pasture. And so should the Biden administration. Absolutely appalling. Let's weaponize the Department of Justice. Let's weaponize the IRS. Of course, they actually need many of those IRS agents, 87,000 agents, to go around and start collecting off all those middle-class Americans. But back to the raid on Donald Trump's place in Florida. Okay, now we, with our exceedingly exceptional, magnificent news sources, James O'Neill has more for us. James?
Thanks, Mike. Federal agents left empty-handed following a raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Sources say Trump cleverly hid his cache of classified documents in plain sight by labeling them Epstein's client list. Nothing to see here, said Special Agent Cornelius Weatherdahl, as he took note of the label on the suspicious-looking cache of files. Almost thought these might be highly incriminating, but I guess it's nothing. In fact, I don't see anything. What files? Unquote. Agents shouted that the room was clear and promptly evacuated the building. Yeah, it's a real bust, admitted FBI Director Christopher Wray. We did confiscate some 10 boxes that we believe might be an AR-15. I don't know, we haven't opened them yet, but we couldn't find anything pertaining to the scope of our warrant. And what was the scope of your warrant? Asked James Jobel, a reporter from the Tampa Tribune. No further questions, said Director Wray. He abruptly ended the interview and flew back to his lair in Washington, D.C. Back to you, Mike.
Thanks, James. Now, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest that you would like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website and help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Gaining perspectives.
It's well-balanced conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So what's happening in our clown world in the US, led by Bozo the Clown, demented Joe Biden? Dee, 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 dee. That's the sort of music. He's in the Twilight Zone. Dee, 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 written by Stephen King. You couldn't really get a better horror film. Cross between Monty Python and a Stephen King novel. So what's happening with the US? COVID-19, vaccines, climate fear, porn, destruction of agriculture. Well, a man that knows all about agriculture, all about the destruction of America, and living the dream in Sri Lanka is Omar Khan. He's a global consultant who has advised clients in the US, UK, Europe, South America, South Africa, Mars, the Middle East, Venus, Southeast Asia, other parts of the galaxy, Asia Pacific and Australia on leadership responses to opportunities and crises. His firm EPL Global seeks to convey better information for better decision making. Now, Omar's blog can be found at uncommonwisdom.online. Omar also writes a regular column for Daily FT, which can be found on ft.lk. First of all, Omar, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you?
Good. You sound like you're talking in a toilet. Where are you?
Well, probably am. I'm just, well.
You're flushed. You're a little flushed.
No, I'm not flushed. There may be flushes happening, but that's a global phenomenon right now. They're trying to flush all the shit that they've been ladling in our direction down someplace. And I don't think there's any place deep enough to hide it. The moats are stagnant with the shit.
They are. Let me just play you something first of all. We're going to talk about the not the affluent society of America, the effluent society of America. So if you can just pair with me, I'll play lots of little grabs this hour, but we'll get your expert commentary as you sound like you're talking from a dunny. Dunny, by the way, means
from
toilet.
An effluvium. From an effluvium.
Well, see, we have the Biden administration, first of all. They talk from their, what do you call it, effluvium? No, from their anus. There you are, I'm being very nice. They talk from their ass, as they would say.
Yes.
And they are terrible. We're being a bit crudy, but they are a terrible, terrible, terrible blight on America. Let's play this first bit.
There was a big political conference in America over the weekend, and some English fellow managed to sneak past security.
Because be clear about one thing. To save Western civilization, this is the battleground. Because if America falls, we all fall.
If America falls, we all fall. That guy is not wrong about that. The post-war Anglo-American transfer of global dominance was the smoothest in history. Washington inherited London's imperial networks, and Britannia's lion cubs adjusted to the idea that it was now more important to get a good hearing in the White House rather than Downing Street. So Canada signed up to NORAD, and Australia and New Zealand joined ANZUS, and the Pentagon opened American bases on Diego Garcia, and for the most part, life went on. It's not going to go that smoothly next time, and next time is already underway. To the French, this has been one unbroken period of Anglo-Saxon dominance since Trafalgar. To the Chinese, who take the long view and play the long game, there is one unbroken period of European dominance, Portuguese, Spanish, Dutch, Anglo-American, that is a half-millennium historical aberration, after which they will resume their rightful place. But the point is, America is falling, the scale of its brokenness. The federal government has to pay back $30 trillion just to get back to having nothing at all in its pocket, which no one in human history has ever done before. The scale of its brokenness and the scale of its military fiascos. The Pentagon accounts for 40% of global military spending and managed to spend 20 years in Afghanistan to lose to goat herds with fertilizer. The scale of its brokenness and the scale of its military fiascos and the scale of its leadership's fecklessness. They've outsourced production of everything from aspirin to laptops to a hostile power that threatens to shoot their senior politicians out of the sky and has enabled Peking to come up with the first ever economically viable form of communism. The scale of its brokenness and the scale of its military fiascos and the scale of its fecklessness and the scale of its nuttiness. All the most destructive wokey woke ideas come from the American Academy. The sheer off-the-charts scale of its madness obscures the fact that in critical respects, it's just a supersized version of any rinky-dink third-rate Latin American banana republic. So yesterday, the purported leader of the free world's laughably misnamed U.S. Department of Justice dispatched its FBI to raid the home of the previous president. The armed agents ransacked his office and bust into his safe. That has never happened before in the history of the Republic, but it does happen all the time in sleazy, no-account, one-party states, which America increasingly resembles, albeit with an unlimited budget. Now, you might be, like many Britons and Europeans, entirely antipathetic to Trump, but the criminalization of opposition is not something any society or its allies should accept lightly. We'll get into that a little later with Michelle Bachmann. Former presidential candidate and former congresswoman, and she'll have some great insights for us. One thing we have in common with America is that it is now taken as read by those who rule us that advanced Western societies have no right to determine who crosses their borders. We'll look at the big picture on that in a moment with Patrick O'Flynn, but sometimes our abusive governing class gets a little too obvious and suffers a setback. For the last 3 months or so, GB News has been reporting on a North Yorkshire village dating back to the Doomsday Book, which happened to find itself targeted by the Home Office. Some minion of Priti Patel's came up with a scheme to house over 1,500 so-called asylum seekers at the abandoned RAF base at Linton-on-Ouse.
Okay, and we'll leave Mark Stein there, but just looking at the US, he's very, very much on the ball, isn't he, Omar?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, other than the fact that he thinks it's the Doomsday Book rather than the Domesday Book, and he ought to know better coming from those cultural waters, everything else was totally apt. It is a complete meltdown. Now, the United States and its decadence, that wonderful line, you know, Noel Coward had, which everyone sort of tut-tuts about. He said, America, it's a country that has gone directly from barbarism to decadence without the usual interval of civilization. Now, everyone used to say, how can you say that? Well, unfortunately, it's been on a slippery slope for decades now. And I think all that's come home to roost now is that there's no pushback. There is nobody who will stand up. Everybody is bought and paid for by the same global big pharma, military industrial complex, World Economic Forum. That's become transnational. And the US is just the staging post. The Republic's already been taken over by these hobgoblins, by these nutters, who certainly are not looking after anybody who resides in the U.S. any more than they're looking after anybody who resides where you live or where I am. So the U.S. has just failed as the circuit breaker and the firewall.
Yeah, I just find this Trump fiasco. And with the,
it's egregious.
I think the world has been taken over by green hobgoblins, as you would say. And that's a scary thought. What does a hobgoblin look like? Is it like a creepy old man that smells little girls' hair? that rules the free world?
Well,
is that a hobgoblin?
I think a hobgoblin, if you move away from the visuals, is one that makes you think something is ugly and creepy, and it may be, but the real evil is kind of being held off to the side. So the judge who allowed for this invasion of Mar-a-Lago turns out to be an old Clinton lawyer with clear ties to Epstein.
I know. Now, it's like
there's nothing to see there. There's nothing to see there, right?
No.
I mean,
so
Epstein,
no.
Anybody who believes that Epstein actually hung himself has already hung their own common sense out to dry. So what is a judge with Clinton ties and an Epstein crony issuing warrants of this nature? Does nobody just say, hold on? And so I know a number of people feel that if the Republicans do have a clean sweep, as we all must pray that they do, not the GOP, but real Republicans, in November, that the first thing they do is shut down the FBI and to shut down the IRS agents and this whole Banana Republic surveillance state they had going.
I think it's a bit like the SVU, isn't it? That the Russian mob that, you know, paid by the Russian. Is it SVU or SRU? I mean, it used to be the KGB, but.
Yeah.
All good dictators, all bad, crooked presidents such as Biden. I mean, I used to think Obama was the worst, but I think Biden is truly. I mean, he's just a bloody. He is just an idiot. No, he's an evil piece of fluff.
Well, no, the thing is that in the case of Biden, I think he's just oblivious. I mean, we're the person who's running the United States
Obama.
Is whoever writes the teleprompter.
It's Obama. He directs someone to write it.
Yeah, I mean, so whoever is the teleprompter, and that could be a new CV, write the teleprompter that rules the world. But, you know, it's also sickening because... you know, Trump played into this, and it's certainly not his fault, but I mean, he played into this. I mean, he devised the most idiotic collection for a COVID task force. I mean, remember, he's the one who gave us the gift of Fauci and Birx. I don't know if you've seen her book, but it's a terrifying book. You know, she basically... is utterly illiterate in terms of epidemiology. I don't know how she's pulled it off. But this woman is magnificent. And, you know, she basically thinks that you could have immunized people away from influenza by giving them flu shots.
Jeez,
Your GP down the road knows that's not possible.
Well, actually, I don't know.
You know, so
I don't know if you're right there.
Well, they used to know that when they came out of medical school. Now, if they purport not to know that, it's not because of medical knowledge. You see, because everybody, you know, people have always said, if you did not have symptoms of a respiratory virus like influenza, you didn't spread illness. Right? I mean, this is even Fauci. In January 2020, says, and I quote, the driver of respiratory outbreaks is symptomatic people, not asymptomatic carriers. Birx, on the other hand, in her book, Silent Invasion, don't you love the title of that? Yeah, exactly. Insists that COVID is unlike any other respiratory virus. And she, of course, was a student of HIV. And so she decides that everything is like that. And this is based on PCR tests, which are notoriously feeble, notoriously unreliable, give days to give an answer, making it too slow to matter, unless you quarantine people while they wait. And so she comes down to the fact, and I don't know if you know George Santayana's wonderful definition of fanaticism, redoubling your effort when you've forgotten your aim.
Now, look, could you just wait 1 second, please? Don't go away. I mean, you're getting into this groove now, and I'm looking forward to what's about to come. But first of all, we'll play a commercial or two. This is TNT Radio.
Politically incorrect on TNT Radio.
Where we are in the state of Queensland in Australia, We've had a lot of news coming through about how wonderful the transparency is, how wonderful the integrity is of our own local government or state government, led by a woman by the name of Anastasia Palachuk. In our local newspaper, and I suspect that this happens in other parts of the world, there has been an inquiry by that body known as the Crime and Corruption Commission into the spending of money. It was originally an inquiry into misuse of funds, so I gather.
So what have we done? We've hidden it, haven't we?
As a matter of fact, the first court allowed that report to be published, which would have shown us what the allegations were. Now the Court of Appeal has said they don't have to. We're not told what the results of those inquiries are, and we're none the wiser. All we do know is that there are large amounts of money being spent at public expense on secret inquiries.
Nefarious activities, perhaps.
Politically Incorrect with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
Government is no longer working to protect our shared heritage, institutions, culture, and way of life. We're watching their deliberate destruction and dismantling, ready for replacement with something else.
What might that be?
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And my guest is Omar Khan, Mike Ryan here. Before we get into Omar, I'll just play something, because we all know that when you are charged or arrested or even just questioned by the law enforcement officers of the or in the US, you are allowed to have a lawyer. So I'll just play this bit. This is Trump lawyer Christina Bob, and she says the FBI initially refused to show the warrant for the raid.
So I don't know what time they got there. I got a phone call around 10 a.m. that I needed to get to Mar-a-Lago immediately. There was, you know, incident, something happening, and I needed to get there and try to, you know, figure it out. So I arrived about 10:30. The FBI was already there, had already started their search. So I'm guessing they probably got there around 9, 9:30. They got there, and they had a team of a couple dozen agents that dispersed on the property and did what the FBI does. Just like in a movie, you know, you see them doing their process. So, yeah.
Now, you were on site. However, my understanding is you were prevented from observing what they were doing. You were told you were not allowed to watch what they were doing, which seems at odds with what your legal rights should be for your client. Right. Am I wrong?
Well, I was told that under Florida law or, you know, whatever law they were following, that I do not have the right to watch their investigation. So I had to stand aside. And I mean, I could see them coming and going and, you know, kind of figure out what they were doing and what areas they were searching. And every once in a while, I would try to get an update. But as far as like actually watching where they were searching and looking into, you know, the storage facility and all of that, I was not allowed to watch that.
All right. So let's get to some of the other salient points that people really want to know. Yeah. Did you have a chance to see the search warrant? Who was it presented to when they first arrived on site? Who did they demand entrance to the house to? And if you did see the search warrant, what did it say? How did it read?
Right. So I don't know who they presented it to initially because I wasn't there. I imagine it's Secret Service, but, you know, you'd have to get that from the service. When I arrived and kind of announced myself as the legal representation for President Trump. I asked to see a copy of the warrant. Initially, they refused and said, you know, we don't have to show it to you. And there was a little bit of an exchange about whether it was appropriate to withhold the warrant when you're searching the residence of the former president who's likely to be the Republican nominee in the next election. So they conceded and let me see it. They did not give me a copy of it right away, but they did let me see it. It was very, I would say, thin. And as you can tell from public records, the affidavit, the supporting documentation of what the probable cause was to obtain the warrant has been sealed. So we're not allowed to see that. We have to go to court to request the judge to release that, which, you know, may or may not happen. So we don't know what the probable cause is, why they were allowed to search, but they did.
So, Omar, do you think there was a slight bending of the law there? I mean, why wouldn't they show the subpoena? What do you think?
Well, I think it's illegal what they did. Mm. Of course, they're a law unto themselves. This is what they call the Al Capone prosecution. When you can't get Capone on what you really want, you get him on tax evasion. So they just want to get Trump. It doesn't matter what they get him on, right? I mean, if they found that he was one day flitting through, I don't know, a porn site on his way between a tax site and something in a whiskey site, you know, they'll say, you were spending your time looking at under. You just have no idea. Whereas when it's something like Epstein and the judge, well, there's nothing to see. So the measures are kind of double standard. They said they were looking for evidence of classified material, Mike. There may be probable cause for that. But the reason they probably didn't want to show the warrant is then why were they looking in the underwear drawer? Or why were they looking up and down looking for something akin to a smoking gun?
Mm. Or smoking underwear. So, that could be hot.
Yeah, I mean, the you know, a year-long investigation into Hillary's private email server found classified data and that thousands of emails had been deleted. So, you know, you just wonder what standards are being applied. And they say that this was the warrant was based on information from some confidential source who said that Trump was still holding on to classified documents. But that's a lot of hearsay. And I don't understand that. This lawyer, by the way, is singularly unimpressive. Mm. If your life hinged on representation, you really wouldn't want this woman representing you.
Yeah, but she looked
good. Just stood around, incurious, whether they were breaking the law. You'd think she'd call her senior partner and say, hey, do we have grounds to intervene here? These guys won't show me a warrant. They won't let me see what they're doing. They could be planting documents for all I know.
That's right.
And she's just, you know, she doesn't speak in complete sentences. I'm just wondering, this is the death of civilization right here. Mm. This verbal, muesli-spouting, bubble-brained lawyer who he's probably paying God knows what to come and sit on his lap, and that's the problem. Mm.
Look, just
our friend Mr. Trump needs to be a little more demanding.
Yeah, you know,
of the caliber of counselors he has.
Yeah, but she looked good, so stop it.
That's what counts.
She went to the Hugh Hefner School of lawyerism.
Yeah, she came to braid the neck noose at federal prison for Epstein too.
We'll mention him in a second. Don't go away. This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a quick check of the day's headlines. A former assistant director of the FBI has come out swinging at the agency, accusing it of ignoring Operation Guidelines as it carried out Monday's raid on Donald Trump's home in Florida. North Korea has declared victory over COVID-19 after going 2 weeks without recording a single case. And a homeless man has been shot dead by police at an airport in Paris after reportedly charging at them with a knife.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
Now, Omar, because we have an extensive reach globally, we have even into outer space, let me tell you, I'll just replay this. James O'Neill is one of our reporters, and he had another take, and this is where Jeffrey Epstein comes into it.
Thanks, Mike. Federal agents left empty-handed following a raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Sources say Trump cleverly hid his cache of classified documents in plain sight by labeling them Epstein's client list. Nothing to see here, said Special Agent Cornelius Weatherdale, as he took note of the label on the suspicious-looking cache of files. Almost thought these might be highly incriminating, but I guess it's nothing. In fact, I don't see anything. What files? Unquote.
So maybe that's what Donald Trump, thanks James, by the way, that's what Donald Trump could have done, is just name them like called the files, the Jeffrey Epstein files. And of course, the FBI being the world's greatest investigative mob, they would have gone right over that as they did, according to James.
And he'll, yeah, well,
it's interesting.
I just think it is. Well, I mean, now, do you think we could come and yank a few strings in Australia? Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah, well, it depends. You don't want as long as the string is not like a piece of rope and I'm hanging from it.
Not you. No, not never you, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
So this is what I wanted to say something about your COVID Safe app,
right?
Which has been talk about esoteria, which has been introduced by the Morris government in 2020, and I'm happy to report it's been decommissioned.
Oh.
It's been branded by your Senate Select Committee an expensive failure. The app was updated on Tuesday night to remove all functionality. Basically, a fellow, the health minister, Mark Butler, said the app did little but burn money. Now, he must know about burning money, since they've done plenty of that. Apparently, only $21 million of taxpayers' money was looted through this. They had 7.9 million registrants, fewer than 800 users. After 7.9 million registrants, yeah. Isn't that hilarious? I'll register. Fewer than 800 will use it. And get this, Mike, this is really stunning. The app had identified only 2 positive cases that were not found by manual contact tracing.
Jeepers. I mean, but you said, though, that they've said it was an expensive failure. Was that the app or was that the Morrison government? I'm not too sure here.
Both.
But it's nice to know that they've handed over the baton to the Albanese government, who will continue down the same track. So, if you have one of those apps, if you kept it for a few years, you may make some money from it because it might become the collector's item.
Along with the PCR tests, along with some of these bizarro therapeutics calling themselves vaccines, along with some of these muzzles calling themselves masks. Can you imagine this would all enter into Ripley's Believe It or Not? The world was held hostage by, and you know, just like they have all of the torture instruments in the medieval dungeons, we'll have the 21st century equivalent. We didn't need chains and whips and saws. All we needed was a face nappy.
But it's very interesting. Even the it's still raging about the masks. Now they're saying it's they're going to save your life. But there's been so many studies. Another one came out today. Can't think what it was, but it was in Substack, and it was a beautiful video that was went for about 15 minutes. And this guy was an occupational health therapist or something like that in the US, and he just showed that the masks do not work, and that when people wore the mask, there was an increase in COVID cases. So, but again, they'll come out and say that's all lies and that, you know, what they're saying is correct because they're in government and you're not, or they're a doctor and you're not. Hey, can I ask you before we get back to, I want to get back to the US, but can I ask you,
sure,
how much damage do you think has been done by the medical fraternity? I mean, I have got zero time for the medical fraternity, doctors, nurses, bureaucrats, terrible.
It's incalculable, Mike. I mean, and probably the poster child right now is the nuttiest man. If you haven't done this, we should do a whole show on the increasingly disturbed German health minister, Lauterbach, Karl Lauterbach. And I don't want to take up your time today, because it's well, we could take a few minutes, but this man has gotten more and more isolated, and so much so that a standing member of the German Vaccine Committee said, and I'm translating thanks to somebody who speaks German, that the mad vaccinator should keep better control of his tongue. Now, that does not sound like a very German sentiment, you know. No. That sounds like something maybe some Spaniards might hurl at each other. But this man, he wants color-coded, based on the kind of mask you wear, and he's just gone nuts. He wants a Corona-worn app if you're within 3 months of vaccination, so it changes color, telling you it's time for a booster.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment it turns green, you go and get a fresh certificate. It's a health minister of a major European nation, clearly high on, you know, Paxlovid and God knows what else, trying to enforce mask mandates by background colors on a cell phone app when you Australians have shown
how
brilliantly these apps work. And this is actually happening. So anyway, I'm just saying that not only have they devastated any credibility they have, but the normal types now even seem to have boiled off. And I think we're left with the particularly mentally disturbed Lauterbachs and others, except in places like Canada, perhaps, you know, where the sociopaths still continue to rule.
Yeah, I see that Trudeau is still out there practicing his newfound religion of hypocrisy. And he's doing a very good job of that. Wear the mask, don't wear the mask. Do what I say, not as I do.
He goes off for on a holiday on a private jet, maskless. That's fine. You know, he's allowed to do that.
But he can do that because he has a black face. Well, used to.
Yeah, well, once upon a time.
Mm.
Now there was a moment.
It's normally I'm quite critical of some of the younger set out there, but there was a TikTok, which you obviously love, before you have your own 10 accounts of TikTok. But there's one, this girl has been kicked off TikTok for saying this. I'll just play it for you.
I guess my facts are becoming too overwhelming for people because I've now been banned for a fourth time on TikTok because people that don't know what gender they are and look like they eat buttons off of remotes decided to mass report me. Sorry you don't like my honesty. I don't like your sugar-coated BS. It's always the ones with dirty hands pointing the fingers. Cries about human rights, advocates for killing babies. Cries about government control, allows the government to control their lives for the last 2 years. Wonders why their cities look like crap and then votes for Democrats who turn everything to crap. We've got high inflation, open borders, and a bunch of broken promises from Pinocchio Joe because of you. We're trying to drain the swamp and you're trying to make the whole country a swamp. No, I will not put a cloth over my face. I will not go get 25 shots and boosters because you're still scared to leave your house. I will not be hammered down by people that think men can be women and vice versa. Don't like the words coming out of my mouth? Put earplugs in. I don't know what to tell you. It's not my problem that facts make you cry because your sensitivity level is of a third grader. It's time to grow up and stop playing victim to the circumstances that you've created because I'm not the problem. I'm just pointing out what is.
Now, how good was that in one breath, by the way? I mean, she was just magnificent.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And that was from someone. That was someone younger than you and I. Actually, everybody's younger than you and I.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's all right. Anyway. I mean, they already clearly sat at the feet of giants like us, right, Mike? And they've imbibed gushers of wisdom. But, you know, look, I mean, I think this is now coming together.
Mm.
Two commentators in the U.S. who I enjoy because they are not polished, but they're poignant. Steve Dace, Daniel Horowitz. And they've just come out with a book called Rise of the Fourth Reich, Confronting COVID Fascism with a New Nuremberg Trial, So This Never Happens Again. So their whole argument, of course, is that the Nuremberg Standard was blatantly violated. We all know that. Because there's no way, certainly any of the children who have been jabbed, and I would argue none of us were given informed consent. Animal trials barely were completed. Human trials were with a ridiculously small population. They then jabbed the placebo control group, so we couldn't know how anything evolved. And in the face of that, they tried to make this compulsory to the extent that you couldn't go out, travel, enter a public space. And if that's not coercion, I don't know what is. So I think that if somebody, you know, sometimes you have to just keep repeating annoying things of that nature, because if you say this violates the Nuremberg Code, you know, people will say, ridiculous, Omar, ridiculous, Mike, you people are just zealots. So you'd say, fine, name calling is brilliant. Tell me in what way it doesn't violate the Nuremberg Standard. Well, you know, I really would like anyone, open invitation, to tell us, forget whether you believe in the vaccine, so-called, or don't believe in them. I'm simply asking a simple question, which is, how does this not violate informed consent? How could we say this rises to the level of being informed about what you're putting in your body and the likely consequences thereof, when nobody knows the likely consequences, even in the medium term, much less longer term, and nobody was clear what you were putting in your body and whether it even stayed localized? We know it doesn't stay localized where it's injected. It's found in organs and other parts of the body. And they knew that, hence their aversion to autopsying anyone. So I just wonder, with all of these lawyers running around this planet, why people don't just focus on this line of attack, because it's an accepted global standard. It's not a new standard. It's not something anybody has to relitigate, presumably. And yet we won't come up to it as if we've ceded that battleground and we're having idiotic arguments about random control trials and what they demonstrate. Well, the fact that you can have debate and so much confusion about random control trials makes the argument.
It does. Now, we have to go to a commercial break, but just before we get into the break, and I'll play this into the spots here. Twitter has some very, very interesting videos. And there's one of Jill Biden talking about Joe Biden. And Joe Biden has just had the vaccine. And what he has, I'll describe it, then I'll play it, and you'll get an idea that he has these bright red eyes and he's got this tongue poking out like a lizard and stuff. And she's talking about how great he is. I'll play this and we'll take us into a spot and we'll come back to Omar Khan on TNT Radio.
And together, we're just getting started. This moment reminds us that the presidency is about true leadership. Having the forethought to prepare for the worst. The backbone to lead through chaos. The character to move beyond politics and serve every American, no matter where they live or what they believe. My husband, President of the United States, Joe Biden.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look, TNT listeners, the rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think, you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the East Coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the Eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT. Asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
Close your eyes and think about this. Imagine taking your child to school where all the other kids have access to textbooks, paper, and pencils, but your child is only allowed to listen. Would you be okay with that? That's what it means to be blind. For every 100 books a sighted child can access, a blind child has access to less than five. Help put the world at the fingertips of vision impaired kids. Donate now at braillehouse.org.au.
Government is no longer working to protect our shared heritage, institutions, culture, and way of life. We're watching their deliberate destruction and dismantling, ready for replacement with something else.
What might that be?
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And my guest, my co-host for this hour is Omar Khan. We're talking about before the visor and how bad it is for just about everybody to take, in fact, everybody, not just about. Omar, I've got this grab here. This is a Texas Senate inquiry or something. They're talking about why. You might know this one. They're talking about why visors stopped testing on animals. I'll just play this, and if you tell me, should we be worried?
I suppose it.
Have you seen any other vaccine that was put out for the public that skipped the animal test?
Never before. Especially for children.
And as I've read, they actually started the animal test, and because the animals were dying, they stopped the test.
Right.
Folks, I think that's important to understand there, that what we're talking about is American people are now the guinea pigs. This is the test program that's going on. They didn't do the human testing, and they stopped the animal test because the animals were dying. And then they turned it out for the public.
So that's pretty scary, isn't it, Omar?
Well, it would be, except the fact that our faculties are so enfeebled that this was happening in plain view. I mean, this was not hidden away, right? In all these movies, this kind of data is hidden away in some secret lab, and as it came out, my God, that would be it. Mm-hmm. Well, here it was blatant. I mean, and then you get other things. Our friend Trudeau, I mean, he says things like this in public. He says, if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's your choice. But don't think you can get on a plane or a train beside vaccinated people and put them at risk. So you wonder, hold on, why does my getting vaccinated make your vaccine work, you douchebag? In other words, if your vaccine only works if I get vaccinated. I mean, it's utterly spurious, and all these Canadians nodding their heads zombie-like. So when you have that such a low threshold of, just coherence, Mike. I mean, so when somebody goes in and says, oh, by the way, the animals, we can't continue with this. They're dying. And let's cover up all the placebo people. And by the way, let's not get anybody at risk. As you know, Mike, it's even worse. They didn't even bring anyone into the trials who was vulnerable, as a part of the population. No elderly people, nobody with diabetes, nobody pregnant, nobody, nothing. So you've got people who are really not at risk. We also, by the way, have UK data that's now come out showing clearly that the vaccines killed likely as many people as even their biggest fans might say they saved. This is now mainstream UK reporting. And maybe that's something we could pick up, next week, because it's worth going through.
Yep.
I should just mention, if you'll allow me,
I will.
That we've talked often about Sri Lanka on the show. The fact that we're not doing so this morning is a good sign. So the 9th of every month is when the protesters have come out into the streets, starting from March. And the last month, that was when the then president was deposed. Yesterday, which was called Nationwide Protest Day, nothing. And the protesters have voluntarily given up the battlements. They said that they've achieved what they've achieved, which is to get that venomous man off the presidential dais. And while the person they have may not be ideal, they have to work for longer term change. So only to say that for all of the panic in the Western media over two streets in Colombo, while the rest of the country was relatively pacific, except for the odd day here or there, I'm glad to see that what we've been saying in discussions together, that the place to really look is not a street in Colombo, It is Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That's where we should all be terrified. And in Ottawa, and in parts of Australia, mm-hmm. and in some of the bastions of the UK government. Anyway, so just to say, we've lived to see a day where nothing happened.
But the our lifetime is early, so we may see a lot more happening down the track. Can I just go back to, I want to go back to, if you don't mind, just as we sort of winding this up, gone too fast. A girl or lady by the name of Megyn Kelly, she...
Oh, yes.
I want to go back to the Trump thing, because I think it actually is a very serious... Yes. We're making sort of half light about it, but I think it if they can come after a president on a... again, inverted commas, trumped up charge, or not even a charge, just to go in there and either plant or try and look for something that's quite scurrilous. We're in deep trouble. So Megyn Kelly has her views on this.
My response to that is bullshit. Bullshit. There is no way that's what they were searching for. There's no way. I watched all the coverage last night. I've read everything. And I read Andy McCarthy this morning, who, as it turns out, agrees with me. I agree with him. He's a former top prosecutor, former assistant U.S. attorney. And he says the same thing. This is about January 6th. If you believe this is about classified documents having to do with bullshit Trump took with him when he left office, your head is in the sky. This is about January 6th and the never-ending desire to get Donald Trump on something. They don't want him to run for election again. They're mad he did not get convicted on the first or the second impeachment. They're mad that he did not get pursued criminally by the New York DA. They are mad that Russiagate fell apart. And they are mad that he's leading in the polls. He's crushing DeSantis. His candidates of choice all made it into office, virtually all of them last week. And they are prepared to unleash hell. The Democrats play dirty. And Merrick Garland is very clearly willing to go along with that. He's been moving in the concentric circles toward Donald Trump over the past several weeks, going after his top advisors, subpoenaing them. You know, we've seen close Trump advisors in handcuffs, dragged away as if they're mobsters. This is really getting alarming. And the American public deserves answers.
And they do deserve answers. Do you think part of the answer lies in the upcoming midterms? Because I can see this is just so obvious that any candidate that has been endorsed by Donald Trump has already been slurred and slandered and stuff. But some are saying that, with thanks to the FBI, that was the start of the Donald Trump re-election campaign. What do you think?
I think it's interesting that he didn't declare his candidacy the next morning. A lot of people say he should have. Mm. You know, to just say, look, I wasn't sure, but after seeing if they can do it to me, then somebody's got to fight these people and stop them. I think, you know, Megyn Kelly's a little bit too much of a Trump shill. Mm-hmm. And I think Trump is watching DeSantis. I mean, I have a lot more time for DeSantis than I do for Trump, though at this moment I take a potted plant over the Democrats. The problem with Trump is that if you play to his ego, you know, he lets shit like Fauci and Burks, you know, go on under his watch. In the case of DeSantis, he's really pushed back. And I hope the two of, I mean, if they can find some kind of a working group between the PR appeal of one and the sort of battle experience of the other, then there may be a fighting chance. But otherwise, the system is tainted. I mean, the GOP is almost as bad, because they're the ones who collude with the Democrats in passing, you know, bills for amounts of money that have never been given back. And, you know, as we said in the history, in your opener, in economic history, only to get back to having nothing to give away. So, you know, Trump is an easy target. You know, they think they have a cover. But I think they made a mistake, because even people who aren't pro-Trump, I mean, even people like Cuomo are insisting on an immediate explanation from the Justice Department. I mean, people who are blood enemies saying this is irrelevant. It's the precedent you're setting. Mm. And I think that has to be right. We have gotten to a point now in the United States, and I think over this whole COVID thing, that if I don't like you, I can do anything to you and it's all right.
I agree, and I think it's opened the Pandora's box, and I think there's going to be some explanations required why 30,000 pages have disappeared when Barack Obama left office, and they've never seen them in the National Archives ever since. Now, just quickly, I need to comment on this because you're a wordsmith of great note, and we love you for that. We think you're a fabulous wordsmith. This from the dailymail.com news. University bosses slap trigger warnings on more than 1,000 texts, including works by Chaucer, Shakespeare and Dickens, over challenging content. We've got about 30 seconds. Give us your thoughts.
I think the purpose of university is to make that which was challenging coherent, understandable, and part of your armory. It is not to dumb down the world so you can, that it has to stoop to meet you at your level of ignorance. Mm.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Now, if somebody wants to find out more about the magnificent Omar Khan, how do they do that?
Uncommonwisdom.online, ft.lk, always, always on your show, Mike.
And next time, hopefully, we'll have some acoustics for you, sounding very much like a very large toilet. Omar Khan, thank you very much.
I think that's the pyrotechnics that you're in.
You're still sounding flushed. This is TNT Radio.